This year we lay in Tazria and Metzorah together. A very significant chunk of what the Chumash has to say about Tumah V'Tahara appears in Tazria and Metzorah. We had a little bit last week in Parsha Shemini, a shorter presentation of some of the very critical dinim and Mikvos and Machshirin and so forth, and bits and pieces elsewhere. Obviously, Tazria and Metzorah is the center of much of the Torah's discussion. I have a number of key avos ha-tumah. And particularly, I have a little bit about Yoledes, I have a little about Zav and Zava, but particularly, obviously, the bulk of Tazria and Metzorah is dedicated to Tumas Saras, three basic types of Tumas Saras, many subcategories and sub-subcategories appear in the Pesukim, but the three main categories of Tumas Saras are Saras on a person, Saras on clothing, and Saras on a house. The Rambam notes, it's a Shem Meshutaf, it's a term that's shared, a common term for Saras or Negat Saras, for all those phenomena, even though they're pretty different from one another. They're not all the same color, as you learn through the Pesukim, you see, that Saras on a person's skin usually is white. Different variations depending on where it is on a person's body. You know, look at the other types of saras. You hear a lot about the rock and adamdam, particular shades of green or red. And the psukim describe, not only is the basic presentation comes in sort of different flavors, but all of them are essentially an aberration, a discoloration of the surface, but also the response to it and the structure of the response, the different details, 1 week, 2 week, but the same basic idea, a kohen needs to come, and a kohen needs to view it, and a kohen needs to make a determination. The nega itself is not tameh until such time as a kohen says tameh, and the kohen looks at it. So there are one of three things he might say. He might say, that's fine, it doesn't fit within the parameters, negat saras, not the right size, not the right color. On the house, maybe it's not in the right spot. Big machos ha-tanam, which areas of the walls of your house are even roi for negam. Or he might say, this is tamei and is tamei mukhlat, absolutely tamei, already has, not only you have a nega, you have a simen tumah. Or he might say, there is a nega, this is discoloration that fits the bill, but it doesn't have an added simen tumah, doesn't have, let's say, the seir lavan, or the, any of the other simane tumah, different categories of negam of different simane tumah. Then he'll say, well, we'll put it aside, put the person aside, put the item aside, musgar, and let's see how things go over the next week or two, or by batim, even perhaps three. So what these types of various types of negam share is a basic concept of a discoloration, some sort of aberration of the surface, and the response that we're looking for, the nega, and maybe even a simen tumah as well. And that will determine whether we say tahar, or the other extreme, tamei mukhlat, or the in-between, muskar. Let's wait and see for a week or two, or perhaps three. The question is, what does it all mean? What does it all mean? Sometimes the saras is translated or mistranslated as leprosy. Leprosy. Yaakov Kamesky points out, it doesn't sound like this is we talk about contagious disease. We do tell the Metzorah that he has to leave the Irmuk of Chom in which he lives. He has to be outside of Machane Yisrael. But we're not treating him as though he has a contagious disease. Begin with the fact that he has no status of Mitzorah until the Kohen makes that determination. If it's a medical condition, so it is what it is, he's at least a Suffolk contagion even before the Kohen makes the determination. And there are many other indications. This is not leprosy. Certainly there's no leprosy on clothing or homes. Take a look at the Ramban. This Ramban is in Tazria, Perek Gimel Pasuk Mem Zayin, in the context of Nige Begadim. And he talks about Nige Batim as well. He talks about what it isn't, and he talks about what it is. I'll take a look at a very, very rich Ramban. We'll take a look at most of this Ramban, a relatively short Ramban. Look at most of the paragraph. I'd love to pair it as well with the Rambam's last halacha in Tumas Tzaras. Let's take a look. Clothing, after all the discussion of Nige Adam, various presentations of Nige Adam, the Torah introduces Nige Begadim. Ze einenu b'teva klal. We could have a discussion about whether what the Torah is describing in the context of Negaim is a medical phenomenon or not, but clearly Nige Begadim is not a natural phenomenon. V'lo hoveh ba'olam. This does not happen. V'chein Nige ha'batim. Same is true for Nige Begadim, for Nige Batim. This is not a natural phenomenon, says Rambam. What is it? When Klal Yisrael have a whole, complete, intact relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yiyeh Ruach Hashem Aleihem Tamid. The more whole we are with Ribbono Shalom, the more, this is a concept that the Rambam and Ramban speak about in a number of places, Kemayim HaPanim HaPanim, Mida Keneged Mida, there's a sliding scale of Hashgacha Pratis. Both the Rambam and the Ramban speak about a sliding scale of Hashgacha Pratis. The more I invest in my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more, so to speak, direct and hands-on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involvement in my life will in turn be. He says, the more shalim we are with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then Yeh Ruach Hashem Aleihem Tamid, there'll be a more constant Hashras Hashchina upon us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is directly, even more directly, managing the upkeep, the goodness of my body and my clothing and my home. Kasha Yikra Be'achamehem Chet V'Avon, the cause on that level that we're very close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and as a result, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkacha Pratis on ourselves and on our assets is very direct. So then, within that context, the Jew does a chet, is haveh kiur b'vissaro b'vigdal b'veiso. So then, that the chet that I, Rachman al-Tzlan, do will drive an ugliness. There had been goodness and beauty in my body and my property as a result of the kesher of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I do a chet, I do something to damage, to dent that relationship, so then that will cause an ugliness on my skin, or an ugliness in my assets. Laharos, to demonstrate the ugliness, shows, Ki Hashem Sarmel up, that I moved away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and as a result, in turn, there's less HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is less directly involved with me. And he says, how do I know? How do I see that in the Pesukim? L'kach amar, the Ramban says, if you read the Pesukim carefully, and here he brings us to the Pesukim in Mitzora about Nige Batim, says when the Torah describes Nige Batim, those who have learned Maseches Megillah may recognize some of this conversation. V'nosati Nege Tzaras Beveis Eretz Achuz Atzchem. Tzaras in a home in your Achuza. In your Achuza. Only certain homes are eligible for Taras Batim. Which homes? He says, Einenu Noeg El Ba'aretz, Beis Eretz Achuzaschem, Dafkin Eretz Yisrael, Nachlas Hashem. That's the land that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us. Kemo Sha'om Akizavol Eretz Akanan Shar Nino Sein Lachem La Achuza, the same term, Achuza. He says that means it's a makas Hashem by Esahu. So it's dafka in the place where there's great Hashash Hashchina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu might give us this knock on the door. We'll get this message that the connection with we've done something to damage the connection. And now he says, halachically speaking, we need to understand this. The Rabban Kedarko says a whole chapter of ideas in half a sentence, if you're paying attention. He says, Ein adav nehi yosach hovas karka. It's not because it's a chovas karka. What does that mean? He's referencing a Mishnah. Chovas karka is from a Mishnah. Which Mishnah? Yeah, exactly. End of the first paragraph of Kiddushin. In the first paragraph of Kiddushin, you have, in the Gemara, it's around 10 blot worth. The last few Mishnahs in the first paragraph of Kiddushin are dedicated to Kalalei mitzvahs, principles about categories of mitzvahs. So you have discussion there about the mitzvahs that the parent has towards the child, the mitzvahs the child has towards the parent, Lamulul of Doso, and so on and so forth, and Kibbutz Ve'em or Aveim. And you have the Mishnahs there about which mitzvahs apply to both men and women, and which mitzvahs only apply to men. Mitzvah Seishas Man Grama. And then the Mishnahs talk there about which mitzvahs apply only in Eretz Yisrael, which mitzvahs apply equally all over the world. And the rule the Mishnah gives is mitzvah tluya baretz. As an aside, we sometimes mistranslate mitzvah tluya baretz. We sometimes translate, I asked you, I won't ask your hands, if I asked you how you translate, mitzvah, what does mitzvah tluya baretz mean? And many people would say it means a mitzvah that applies in Eretz Yisrael. It's a mitzvah tluya baretz. A mitzvah that's only in Eretz Yisrael. That's actually not what it means. Because the Mishnah says, a mitzvah tluya ba'aretz is no hekes ba'aretz. A mitzvah tluya ba'aretz applies only in Eretz Yisrael. A mitzvah that's not tluya ba'aretz applies bein ba'aretz, bein b'chutz la'aretz. Well, that sounds like a tautology. A mitzvah that applies in Eretz Yisrael applies in Eretz Yisrael. Shkoyach. And shirts that are blue are blue. That's not a very helpful statement. You see, a mitzvah tluya ba'aretz doesn't mean a mitzvah which applies in Eretz Yisrael. Mitzvah tluya ba'aretz means a mitzvah which is connected to soil. An agricultural mitzvah. Agricultural mitzvahs. Mitzvahs are tluyas ba'aretz. Mitzvahs have to do with the soil. They have to do with planting. They have to do with growing. Like leket and shikha and peya and trumas and maishas and shvias and yovel. Mitzvahs that are agricultural in nature are no of those generally only Eretz Yisrael. There is no hafarshas trumas and maishas in New York and New Jersey. There is no shmita and yovel in Nevada or California. Davka and Eretz Yisrael. Maybe Midrabanan and some of those dinam apply to the immediate surrounding areas, but those are dinam in Eretz Yisrael. The Mishnah says there are a handful of exceptions. Orla applies a little bit in Chutz La'aretz, Machlokas, where the Chadash applies in Chutz La'aretz, but generally, agricultural mitzvahs apply only in Eretz Yisrael, and the Mishnah says non-agricultural mitzvahs, Tzitzis Tzvillin, Stucca, avoiding Lashon Hara, Yichud, Shatnez, Kashrus, Shabbos, those apply Bein Ba'aretz, Bein B'chutzos. Those are not mitzvah tluyas ba'aretz. They're not agricultural mitzvahs. They're not soil-based mitzvahs. And as a result, they apply invariant to your geography. They apply all over the world. That's what the Rabban is driving at. He says it's not a chovas karka. He says, yeah, that's the din. The din is that nige Batim only apply in Eretz Yisrael. And the Pasuk says, Beveis Eretz Achuzasem. But why? It's strange, Ramban says. Why? It's not agricultural. I understand. Lekat Shechapeh, Trumas and Ice, Shmita Yovel applies only in Eretz Yisrael. But what is Nige Batim? I mean, because the house has a foundation in the ground? That's not it's a Tzatzli Baretz. So why can't Nige Batim apply equally in Sao Paulo or in Johannesburg? Or in Washington, D.C. Why Dafka and Eretz Yisrael? So he says, he alludes to an idea that Rabbi Shechter develops very beautifully. Rabbi Shechter refers to the seven aspects of Eretz Yisrael. Rabban says, Ein Hadav, and the Rabban already begins this idea. Ein Hadav b'nei Yosef Chovas Karka. We have it then, that the Chazal derived from the Pesuk and from reading the Pesuk, and that Nige Batim applies only in Eretz Yisrael. He says, let me explain why, and then I'll give an afkamina. It's not because Nige Batim is a mitzvah tluya ba'aretz. It's not a chovas karka. So why is it? The din is true because the Torah told me, but what's the nature of that gzeiras hakasam? What's the category? What's the concept that Gzeiras HaKasuv teach me? This phenomenon that the Rabban has been describing in the last couple of lines, that Tzaras is a manifestation within the context of heightened relationship between Kalal Yisrael and Kadosh Baruch Hu, he's up until now he's been saying a particular time in history when Kalal Yisrael have a very healthy relationship. Now he's also saying in a, not only when, but where, a place in the world where we have a greater connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So then, if a Jew, Rachman and son, does a chet that dents that relationship, it's going to be nikar, and it's going to manifest itself physically in a nega, in a discoloration of my assets. So what, how does he say it? And once again, from number 55, rather, it's because this phenomenon that was such a madrega with Ribbono Shel Olam, that yachas with Ribbono Shel Olam, that a chet it creates a visible aberration. That's only going to happen in the chosen land. There's a greater degree of hashoras hashchina. A greater degree of hashoras hashchina. And then he quotes the Taurus Kohen, the Medrash Halacha on Sefer Vayikra, the Sifra. They derive from the psukim, the Tanoim derive from the psukim, that Nige Bata not only applies in Eretz Yisrael, but only applies beyond 14 years after they came into Eretz Yisrael. Tanoim tell us, based on the psukim of Sefer Yehoshua, that they spent the first 14 years after the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, were the Sheva Shekavshu v'Sheva Shechilku. They spent 7 years conquering Eretz Yisrael, spent another 7 years divining among the Shvatim, and only then what? Here he says that we derive from the Psukim that only then did Nigei Batim apply. The truth is, there's a more general principle that the mitzvahs HaKluyos Ba'aretz, only the Shemitah and Yovel, Trumas and Maishers, didn't apply during those first 14 years. They only applied after the Sheva Shekavshu v'Sheva Shechilku, which means that Truma began to apply in year 15, the first Shemitah was year 21, the first Yovel was year 64, because the count started after those first 14 years were up. Why? Because the Mekadesh of Eretz Yisrael was, certainly during Zia Rishona, when they came under Yoshua, was Kibush, so you had to have the Kibush, and then the Chiluk was the Gemara Kibush, apparently. They said they took over Eretz Yisrael through military conquest and through moving in. And once they were Mechalik Eretz Yisrael among the Shvatim and then down into clans and found individual people, that was the Gemara. Kibush, now we really took over Eretz Yisrael. And with that, Kedushas Haaretz set in. You'll notice the Ramban feels the need to explain more. The din of Kibush V'chiluk is shared among the mitzvahs HaTluyos Ba'aretz, the Chovos Karka. He says here the Torah's calling him, they darshan that same is true by Tumas Saras, and he gives a reason, which seems unnecessary. Shehei kol echa ve'echa makir shalo, why? The hatam, why? I wouldn't think you need a why. That's the way it works by all the dinu of Kedusha Zaretz. The Kedusha Zaretz only began after the Kibush. But here he gives a tam. Oh, it's nisyash v'daitam. That's when they were calm and peaceful. Once they had done all the hard work, of the frightening work of Kibush, the hard work of Chiluk, then they had a Yishuv Hadas, they had a peace of mind and a clarity, L'adas es Hashem, to be able to focus more on the Ribbono Shel Olam, v'tishresh shechina v'socham. At that point, they're able to have Zahiris, they're able to have his bonus, they're able to have a more focused relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and as a result, there was greater Hashras Hashchina. Interesting, you'll need to give an explanation. So what's going on? So how is going on? Is there a chapter? Often this will be his several different topics he'll rotate among. And Yom HaTzmaot, one of them is the seven aspects of Eretz Yisrael. That there's much more to Eretz Yisrael than only the Kedusha of the soil, the Kedusha Sa'aretz. As Ramban already says here, this is not Tzaras, is not a mitzvah tliyah ba'aretz. Not that the soil is holy, and as a result, the grapes and tomatoes that grow there have kedusha, have restrictions, have an isur tevel, and so on and so forth. And the truth is, there are many, many such dinim. The fact that probably even the time of the bamos, heter bamos, you can only bring karbanos in Eretz Yisrael. the fact that Nevuah, the Gemara Moed Katan tells us, Nevuah can only happen in Eretz Yisrael, or at least your career as a Navi has to begin in Eretz Yisrael. The fact that when you daven, you face towards Eretz Yisrael. There's a host of other dinim, halachic dinim, and aspects of Hashkafa about Eretz Yisrael, specific to Eretz Yisrael, they have nothing to do with Mitzvah Tulis Baris, nothing to do with Kedush HaSaretz. Plus, for instance, I don't know, Egla Rufa is only in Eretz Yisrael. Smicha, the real Smicha from Moshe Rabbeinu can only be transmitted in Eretz Yisrael. That's why Bizman HaZeh, we don't have that unbroken chain. We have an unbroken chain of Masorah of learning, but we do not have an unbroken chain of Smicha, because at a certain point, a couple of centuries after Churban Bayis Sheni, the Romans succeeded in extinguishing ongoing Smicha in Eretz Yisrael. And at that point, the Hillel HaSheni realized that he was presiding over the last Sanhedrin. Obviously, why did they have to switch over to a fixed calendar? Because they weren't able to produce more Smuchim. The Romans were succeeding in clamping down on Smicha. So he realized, last one out, turn out the lights. There isn't going to be another generation of Sanhedrin because they have effectively stopped us from passing on Smicha to the next generation. The Torah was being learned very, very extensively in Babel. He said the other day, the Rambam points out, that Abaye and Rava were the contemporaries in Babel of Hillel HaSheni. So, Baruch Hashem, the yeshivas in Babel were going full strength. Havai is Abaye for Rava. But Abai and Rava couldn't get Smicha, and they couldn't give Smicha, because Smicha can only be conveyed, but both the Nasmich and the Nismach are in Eretz Yisrael. And that's what Hillel HaSheni said. Baruch Hashem, the Masorah of Torah is alive and well, but Smicha is about to end, Sanhedrin is about to end. We better make sure, I have to be responsible, and make sure that we're transitioned to how we're going to have a Luach, how we're going to have Yom Tovim, Rosh Chodeshim, when the present member of Sanhedrin passed away. And that's why he made the switch over to the, however that switchover worked, Machalus Ram Ramban, he set up the switchover to the next stage of how the Jewish calendar would work. But what does that have to do with, what does that have to do with Eretz Yisrael? Smicha? No, Mitzvah Tlui Barak. Well, what do I know? But Ma Kesher No. So you see that there are many other aspects of Eretz Yisrael. Shasha Kotza counts a total of seven. Rambam writes in Pirush Mishnayos and Bechoros, Eretz Yisrael is the glue. It's the mitzarif of Klal Yisrael. Based on the Gemara and Horius, Rambam writes in Pirush Mishnayos and Bechoros that Jews all over the world are equally Jewish. We all have equal Kedushas Yisrael, but to be Klal Yisrael, to be mitzurif, to be a tzibur, that's primarily the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. Now, a national homeland is not a secular concept that's a product of 19th century European nationalism. Eretz Yisrael as a national homeland of Klal Yisrael is a Doraisa halachic concept. And that's why Smicha and a host of other Klal Yisrael dinim only apply in Eretz Yisrael. That might be why Tosfos thinks Karb Pesach only applies to Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. So that's another aspect. And another aspect of Eretz Yisrael is Kedushas HaMikdash. And then another aspect of Eretz Yisrael, Rabbanu is right here, is that it's the Eretz HaNivcheres where we have a closer, more natural relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Is a greater Hashraas HaShechina. That might have to do with why it's the Ikar Makam Tefillah. That might have to do why with the fact that it's the Ikar Makam Nevuah. And it's why the Ramban says, negatively, there's greater spiritual potential in Eretz Yisrael, Tefillah, Nevuah, and so forth. And on the negative side, our Averis in Eretz Yisrael matter that much more. And our Averis in Eretz Yisrael will dent our homes in visible ways in a way that cannot happen outside Eretz Yisrael. It's only because it's normally, when Klal Yisrael is in the right place, such an extraordinarily high level of Hashraas HaShechina in it for the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, that a Jew's chet will result in a physically visible manifestation on the walls of his home. Oh. And that's why you have to explain Kibush V'Chiluk. Because Kibush V'Chiluk, one of the nafkaminas between the various din of Eretz Yisrael is what the gvulos are. Another nafkamina is when they began. Kedushas Haaretz only began Kibush V'Chiluk. Other aspects of Eretz Yisrael began earlier. So why is this also telling Kibush V'Chiluk? Ramban felt the need to explain, Oh, it's not because it's telling Kedushas Aretz, but it's because it's only after Kibush V'chiluk that they were calm enough and focused enough to be able to be zocha to this madrega b'ashras hashchina, that they would thereby, a chet would express itself in the nige b'akim. And then he says, you know what's an afkamina in this idea? The fact that the Eretz Yisrael piece has nothing to do with Chovas Karka, not because the house is founded in the ground, it's because of the Ashras HaShchina Shema Eretz HaNevcheres, is his own afkaminas. The limitation to Eretz Yisrael might not just be Negei Batim. He says, V'chein ani choshei, fascinating language, I think, Rambam would say Yirali, Rambam says, ani choshei, I think, here's a chiddush. I think the same is true b'negei begadim also. Clear, the begadim are not connected to the ground at all. The house, at least, is founded, rooted in the ground. The clothing aren't connected to the ground. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's a phenomenon that is only going to happen in Eretz Yisrael because of the typically high level of kedusha and connection to Ribbono Shel Olam. He's watching the pasuk say, "Lohu tov l'may ben chusat." We go, "Yeah, Rosh Hashanah." It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Talks about why it only applies to white clothing, not colored clothing. It says maybe because colored clothing, you're not sure. Is this discoloration miraculous? Or the discoloration is just, I don't know, something funny. It's a dye. Maybe there's some sort of separation of the colors. So now I end up with a red spot. But it's not clear when you have colored clothing, then you have a further discoloration. It's not clear whether that's miraculous or a natural just degradation of the dye. But if it's white clothing, then it's clear where this red spot come from. Where this green spot come from. Etzba Elokimi. That's a clear name. So he goes on to say the last line. The pasuk keeps handling. Abeged ha'or shasiya erev ki hadavar nes. This is a miracle. This is a nes. That's true shal mikra. The reason why the Torah keeps stressing it can be clothing, it could be leather, shasiya erev. It's all a nes anyhow. It's all a nes. He's referencing the psukim in Chumash Mos. Yeah. The pasuk that we mentioned is famous from the Haggadah. It's interesting, see that star on the Adavar Neis sends you down to the lower level footnotes, the Ha'aris that Rabbi Yeshavel has. He says, Ayein Naso Heichaf. So the Yeshel Ayin, what he means by that. What type of Rabbi Kiva Eger, Dika Ha'ar, is he making? Naso Heichaf is in the Parsha of Sota. And Rabbi Shavel either is asking Akasha, or giving Akasha and a Teretz. Because you look at the Ramban in Naso, Hey Chav, that's where the Ramban, after a brief comment on the Pasuk, has his essay about the fact that Sota is an ace. The fact that you're going to prepare a particular concoction, the way the Torah describes an ace Sota, you take water and the soil, some soil of the Mikdash, and you write a Ksav, and you erase it into the water, doesn't sound like anything particularly toxic, but then the Torah says the woman under the sota circumstances is going to drink this water. We're not sure whether or not she and her boyfriend violated niyuf. We know they violated yichud, or they violated niyuf or not is unclear. And this will be the test. We'll see what happens. If her body explodes and the Chazal say and the boyfriend as well, wherever he is, their bodies begin to expand unnaturally when she after she drinks her drink, then you see that the two of them engaged in a horrific chet of niyuf. And if there's no physical reaction, so then that's an indication that although they may have violated yichud, nothing more untoward happened. They may have violated yichud, but there was no act of gilui arayos. And as a result, she's once again muteris l'bayla. So the Ramban there writes, this is an ace. This is obviously not a physical phenomenon. The fact that she drinks this concoction, it's not going to naturally impact her, not impact her based on whether she was unfaithful. So the Pella the Neis Kavua, he talks there as well about the fact that it only worked at a time when Klal Yisrael were generally on such a madrega that this was an aberration. So that's very similar to what he writes here by Tzaraas. It's a Neis, and it's a Neis that's a result of a generally extra high level of Hashras HaShechina. That's the result of Klal Yisrael's generally very high level of Shmiras HaMitzvos, again, Keshet HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a context of generally very high connection. Here's a person who did a chet, so there's going to be a miraculous reaction. So there is certainly a similarity. At the same time, there's a kasha, because there he says, Ein in the Pesukim of Sotin Naso, Ein b'chol mishpatei HaTorah davar tali b'neis zulasi ha'in hazeh. In all the Mishpatei HaTorah, nothing depends on an ace except for Sota. Stira. Here he says that Nagam is all Nisan. And there he says, the only ace is Sota. Ein b'chol Mishpatei HaTorah. In all the halachos of the Torah, there's no, what was his language? There's no davar talui b'neis. In all the Mishpatei HaTorah, nothing depends on an ace except for Sota. Sounds like a stira. What would you suggest?
This is not Talib Nes, this is Nes.
Oh.
So the whole way we know
whether she was Talib Nes. Very good. Very good. Very good. Over here, the Ramban is saying, let me give you some background under the hood. You know where this, you know what causes this Nega? It's miraculous in nature, and I can explain Al-Pich Machshav, Al-Pich Kabbalah, you know, why this is happening. But I think what you were saying is the dinim on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's business, why he might give a nega is because of this spiritual explanation. But in terms of Hagas HaAdam, halachas on Hagas HaAdam, in terms of what our obligations are, the nace is irrelevant. If you have such a discoloration, here are the rules. Zehu. Masha'enu came by Sota. The neis actually impacts halacha. How does neis impact halacha? Because b'zman hazeh we don't have meisota, or the mishnayis, even b'zman hamikdash, there were conditions under which meisota wouldn't or couldn't be applied. You have a woman who she and her boyfriend fit the parameters of sota safek. There was kinoi, there was stira. There's reason to believe that adultery has occurred, but it's unclear. So if you fit within those parameters of a sota safek, it's a real latest hasafik. We're not sure whether over the course of her period of seclusion, of stira with a boyfriend, whether they were mezana or not. So she is immediately asura. They're asura to one another. She's asura to her husband. Misafik. She's treated as a safik eshes ishes and says. Treated as a safik niyuf. Sveik derais lochem. And if Mesota will never be employed, so then that Isser is forever. Like Bizman Hazeh, so Shulchan Aruch. There are dinim of Sota Bizman Hazeh as well. Not Hashkoa Sota, we don't have Beis HaMikdash. So if you have a situation where the circumstances are such that you fit the rules of Sota Safik, so that's it. That's for a lifetime. The Sota Safik, there's no way to undo it. What the Torah says is, aha! But Bizman HaMikdash, if you do Hashkaz Meisota and nothing happened, she drank the Meisota and there was no physical reaction, that's Matir her. That is Poshek, the Safik, that in fact, now we can assume that no Niyaf occurred. So there, human beings rely on the Nes. The Halacha involves the Nes. The Halacha says if no Nes occurs, now you can assume that it didn't change. That's exactly, that's what the Ramban Lechora exactly says. The Ramban is saying over there, the Mishpatei HaTorah, the demon depend on the Nes. Here, the Halacha, Hanhagas HaAdam, doesn't depend on Nes. If such a discoloration occurs, the discoloration is a result of an Nes. Once you have a discoloration, we just follow the rules in the Chumash. Yeah, we just follow the rules in the Chumash. The Rambam says that as well. Let's take a look a little bit at the, you turn the page. the last Rambam in Hilchas Tumas Saras, 16 heavy prakim. Tumas Saras, Batum Nige Adam, Nige Begadim, Nige Batim. The Rambam always ends his Svarim with Agada. The 14 Svarim of the Mishnah Torah, every single Sefer ends with Divrei Agada. A parent that he no doubt picked up from Chazal. And he'll often give the Hashkafa of the Din at the end of every Sefer. All the 14 Svarim end with Agada. And many other topics that aren't the end of the Sefer also, not always, but often, end with Agada. Very beautiful Agada at the end of Hilchos Mezuzah, a variety of places where he'll end the topic with, now that we went through all the dinim, let's take a step back and reflect on what that means. So here, Tumas Saras, you have almost an entire Halacha Yud in front of you. He opens by saying the part that's on the previous page you didn't make onto the copy. He opens what I mentioned before, Bishmo, that Saras is a Shem Mishutaf that applies to a variety of phenomena that aren't really alike. The whiteness on a person's skin is called saras, and here picking up on top of the copy that you have, he says sometimes, at least lefi the Rambam, it's not even a question of discoloration. Mefilas mixas sa'ar harosho hazakan kari saras. Rambam understands l'chora that certain types of bald spots might themselves constitute a bald, certain types of unusual balding could itself be taras. Shinui ein habegadim or habatim, a change in the appearance of clothing or homes, but not a whitening, also taras. And then he says, zeh hashinui, he writes like several generations before the Ramban, zeh hashinui ha'amur bevegadim uvebatim, shekara oso Torah saras, b'shutfus Hashem, the nige batim, nige begadim, the Torah shares the same term saras with what happens on a person's skin and what happens to clothing and homes. This is not normal. This is not natural. This is not biochemistry. Os upela haya b'Yisrael, kedei lahazhir melashon hara. He says it's a nes HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. In his presentation, he focuses less, and the Ramban is focused primarily on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's side of the business. As HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing this because we dented in relationship with him. As a result, there's going to be less Asharas Hashchina, Kemayim Apanim Apanim. So that's going to express itself in almost naturally, so to speak, not in terms of scientific nature, but in terms of metaphysical nature. It would be a natural response that there's something, the good, if you're on that madrega, then the goodness of your assets are a result of direct hashkacha pratis. So when you dent the hashkacha pratis, so then that's going to mimela cause an ugliness to sprout on your asset. Rambam is focused more on the particular chatoim that a person might do. Hamasapar b'lashon hara, mishtanos kiros beiso. A Jew speaks Lashon Hara, the walls of his home are going to change. Chazabo Yitar Abayis. He does tshuva, the house becomes tar. Omad Berisho, if he doesn't do tshuva, a Shehuta Tzabayis, to the point that the tzaras continues, ultimately his house has to be destroyed, the psukim described partially in the Torah. The next, Mishtanim Klei Ha'or, Shebe Beiso, Shu Yoshev V'Shochev Aleim. Interesting. He differentiates between or and cloth. The Torah has both. He understands that that's a separate level. First, it starts with your home. If you don't get the message of your home, it's going to move to you. What are clay or leather kalim? I would have thought, I don't know, like a canteen or something. He says leather kalim is referring primarily to what's big in leather in your house? Couch. Exactly. He says the couch is going to go. The leather kalim that you sit on, the leather kalim that you lie on, maybe a leather bed, a leather couch. You do tshuva when your bed starts looking funny. It's already getting a little closer. Not the walls of the house. It's the thing that my body actually is upon. Okay. So now I got that message. If not, he's not doing tshuva, he's sticking with his rishus, to the point where the tzaras drives the destruction of his couch. The mishanim is begadim shav. Now it gets even more personal. Now it's the clothing I actually wear. That's why Rambam is implied. The Torah speaks both about beged and or. Chazer bo yitaru. So that's step three. Even step three doesn't get my attention. I'm a brishash yisarfu. Mishtaneh oro v'yit tzara. I myself have developed tzaras on my body. I'm going to be separated from people, and it's going to be very, very public. My separation will be very public, as the Psukim describe. I show you, Asik B'Sicha Sarashad. He says, this is directly a media connected me that I'm not going to be able to talk with other evil people. Number one, I don't have access. And number two, I don't know. I'm bothered, Yeshiv. I'm away from other people. And it's very, very public and advertised that I am away. Tamei Tamei Yikra. And what is the speech of evil people? What is Sichas HaRasham? He says two things. Leitzus and Lashon Hara. We often think specifically about the Lashon Hara. Speaking ill of others, which is item number two. Item number one he has is cynicism. Cynicism and sarcasm. Talk that deflates people and deflates ideas. That's evil talk. Being sarcastic and snarky and nasty. And then he says, that's what the Torah says. Al inyan hazeh mazhir ba-Torah, hi shomer b'neged tzaraz. Zachor esher asa Hashem elokecha le-Miriam ba-Derech. Interesting. He goes on to talk about the story of Miriam, which we'll get to in a moment. Actually, let's see what he says about that. Hey, Omer. Why dafka Miriam? He says, remember what happened to Miriam HaNeviah? He says, consider for a moment the story. Dira Rachia. She spoke about her brother, her little brother. Now, we don't think about Moshe Rabbeinu as a kid brother, but Moshe Rabbeinu was Miriam's kid brother. She was the big sister. She raised him. Gidlo Salbir Kera. She raised him. She raised him. Six Nabi Yasma Atzil Men Hayom. She saved him at great risk. You often don't think about this, but it was a sakana for her, the Rambam says, very subtly. She steps out and speaks to Bas Paro. If you have been placing, over under on that, what's going to happen? Paro is trying to exterminate the Jewish people. Bas Paro just finds a Jewish baby boy. Maybe it's not clear to her that it's a Jewish baby boy. Maybe it is. Contraband. Human contraband. If you can say such a thing. Miriam steps out, a Jewish girl, and says, oh, can I help you with that Jewish baby boy? There's a very high likelihood that she doesn't survive to the end of that conversation. Just think about the political context. You're talking to Bas Paro about Jewish baby boy, whom her father made a very public decree of extermination against. It looks almost suicidal. This is a suicide. This is a very, very risky mission that she's undertaking to attempt to save her brother physically. Spiritually, and she does. Sikna biatzma. She put her life on the line for this brother, even when he was a baby. It's not random. It's not someone who hates the person they're speaking about. It's not a random person. This is someone who Miriam is incredibly invested in Moshe Rabbeinu. His gratitude to her knows no bounds. She literally saved his life. And what did she say already? Lo dibra b'ginuso, she didn't say anything nasty about him. What did she say about Moshe Rabbeinu? Taught us, Rama puts it in the context of his discussion of Ikar Yamuna elsewhere, what was her mistake? Hishvas oso l'shar neviim. Her mistake was that she thought that he's the same as all the other neviim. That's the way Chazal interpret what she says to Aaron. You and I are also neviim, and we have families. We have spouses. I have a husband, Miriam says to her brother. You have a wife. We have intact family lives. And we're Nevi'im. So he's also a Navi. So he should also have an intact family life. And she didn't realize that he was a whole different type of Navi. The relationship between him and her is so profound. And she didn't say anything negative. She just didn't, she mistakenly didn't recognize how positive he was. And he didn't care. But Ish Moshe Anav Ma'od. Interesting. There's a lot of parshanas going on here. Says that's what the Torah says there in Bahalosra. He was very big on it. Why did the Torah tell us there that he was such an Anav? It's not his obituary in Vizos HaBracha, but the point is to recognize how minuscule her chet was. He couldn't care less. He wasn't machbit. And yet, even though there were so many points in her favor, even though the chet of Lashon Hara was so, so mitigated and so limited and so counterbalanced, and still, wow, immediate response. It's a kavachomer. Oh, the more that person who is a Russia, who is a Tibesh, and is memorable Dabek Duls and saying all sorts of Narisha things. Wow. All the more so. That's why Zachar Shasha Hashem Lekecha, Miriam, even Miriam got such a response. All the more so when it's a much, much worse situation of Lashon Hara, as it typically is. It's interesting that he, that was the second pasuk that he quoted. Zachar Shasha Hashem Lekecha Miriam. What was the first pasuk they quoted right before that? Yishamer Benega Tzaras. Now the Tanoim understand Yishamer Benega Tzaras is a law not to mutilate, not to do anything, any sort of surgery to the Tzaras. The guy sees Tzaras. I have a business trip. I can't afford to have Tzaras. I'm not interested in this. So, exactly. He'll get out the nail clipper and cut off the white hairs. Maybe he'll even get a file and see if he can rub away some of the skin. Rub it down, maybe below rub off all the dry skin, maybe down below it's not as white. Maybe he'll get out some cosmetics and try to discolor it a little bit, make it look better. So, he shot me when I got Saras. Alav, you're not allowed to do anything. You got to leave it pristine and show it to the Kohen as presented. What Rambam seems to be saying is that's an additional level of interpretation, but Peshut Lashon Mikra, I think that's what he's saying, Hisham b'nega tzaras doesn't mean don't damage the particular nega on your skin. It means be aware of what tzaras is all about. Answer your messages. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is knocking at the door, don't ignore it. Hisham b'nega tzaras. You got a nega, listen to the message HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving you. And actually he said, even Miriam, it was such a minuscule thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent tzaras. All the more so. We do... And why is it so terrible? Another layer. He says, it starts with Narishkeit. B'tchilam Arbim Divrei Havai. Or it starts just with talking about a lot of silly things. And then you end up saying bad things about good people. B'tochach ba'im l'saper b'genus ha-tzadikim. And then, you know what might... You know, part why Lashon Hara is so bad is b'nam l'chaveiro. What you're doing to the damage you do to other people. But... And part why it's so bad, because he says, you start with stam narishkeit, spending your time on narishkeit. Eleanor Roosevelt, it's quoted as having said, that great people discuss ideas, average people discuss, great minds discuss ideas, average minds discuss events, small minds discuss people. He's so gullible. The Rambam writes in the end of Hilchos Deos, most of Parak Zayin of Deos is dedicated to the Dinim of Lashon Hara. And if you read carefully in the Kesef Mishnah, I think might be pointing this out also, it sounds like he talks about four levels of Lashon Hara. Level two is saying nasty things about other people. And then level three is saying nasty and false things, Motzi Shema. Level four is you're gossiping all the time. So what's level one? Level one is you're going around talking about people. What are you saying? I thought level two is saying bad things. What it sounds like is that to constantly talk about other people, even if it's not negative, but just to be a big gossiper is itself already a violation according to the Rambam of Rechilas. I would talk to other people occasionally. But if you're holich v'toling, if your kavua and talking to other people all the time, that itself is, even if you don't say anything nasty, you just talk about other people all day long, it's already a lot. And that's what he says here. He says, it starts by just filling your days with narishkei, divrei havai, talking about things of no meaning. That comes to Lashon Hara in the classical sense of speaking bad things about good people, l'saper b'gnus ha-tzadikim. That will lead level 3. Yilehen hergil adarav b'nevim. Litein dofi b'divreihem. I'm going to already have nasty things to say about the Nevi'im. And I will begin to doubt Nevua. As he said before, he had paired before Leitzanus with Lashon Hara. And step 4, mitochach ban l'davar be'elokim, v'chofrin be'ikar, it lead to rejection of Emunah, rachman al-Islam. He says, Lashon Hara is profoundly injurious b'ram l'chadero, it's also profoundly injurious b'ram l'makom. And then he finally closes, v'sichas k'sheire yishov b'tzadikim, eina ela b'divrei tor b'divrei chachma. Torah v'ava. He says, good Jews talk about things of substance. Small minds will talk about people. Small minds will talk about divrei havai. But great minds will discuss ideas. Great minds will discuss divrei Torah. And when you're not discussing divrei Torah, you're talking about other divrei chachma. But things of substance and things of meaning. And here he closes positive with a positive flip side, what the Rabban had described. The closer I bring myself to Kadosh Baruch Hu, the figure Kadosh Baruch Hu is there, you're done. If I'm going to invest myself in wrapping my conversations, in wrapping my mind, in wrapping my time around HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah and the other chachmas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu in return will give me more siyata d'shmaya. I connect myself more to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu in return will give me more siyata d'shmaya. Oh, zera yadan, umizakeo sanva, oz ninbru, yiri Hashem, v'gomer. So that's the miracle of Tzaras is a negative phenomenon, but that gives expression to the incredibly positive reality that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always involved in our lives, and that there are circumstances under which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is even more directly involved. In Eretz Yisrael, there's even more direct involvement, and at a time in history when Klal Yisrael are behaving properly, there's even more direct involvement, such that if Rachman Latzon, I do a chet, so that will be gorim. And that will be gorim a response. A visible break in the siyata, the elevated siyata shemayim usually having. And as the Rambam said, the way I speak, with respect or lack thereof, is going to drive so much b'ram l'chaver, it's going to drive so much b'ram l'makom. Even Miriam took a tremendous onesh, even though there's so many mitigating factors, all the more so when there are not those sorts of mitigating factors. And what I say, even and to think, as he said, as I mentioned, he says in the Hilchos Deis, and he says here, to think not only about avoiding to challenge ourselves, because Kadosh Baruch Hu challenged us, not only to avoid saying nasty things about other people, Lashon Hara in the usual sense of the term, but also just to make sure that our speech b'chlal is primarily of substance, primarily divrei Torah v'divrei Chachma, and not the divrei Havai. I fill my conversations with divrei Havai. It's not a good place to be. It's a cheshbon nefesh one can make. The fact that there are a lot of unfortunate aspects. The fact that so much of our conversation, for many of us, is in the form of text. You're often texting, whether it's SMS or WhatsApp or what have you, it often leads to a shrinking of a conversation. Relationships are so much richer when you talk to people face-to-face or on the phone as opposed to texting. But leaving that aside, well, what it does give me the opportunity to do is to do a little cheshbon nefesh, scroll through and see how much of the written conversation is divrei Torah and divrei Chachma. And what percentage is divrei havai? It's a good avoda. It's a good avoda for the week of Tazria Mitzora is to consider not only to address absolute lashon hara, the sense of l'saper b'gnus ha-tzadikim, But even the this higher standard of how much Havai is in my conversation, and how much of my conversations are things of substance and meaning, Divrei Torah, Divrei Chachma, as we continue to grow in this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us, as Rambam said, greater and greater Siyata Dishmaya. Shol B'Zeichem, Mirtz Hashem.